This is Evan Dietrich Smith, and you're watching Cheesehead.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're looking back at a loss against the Philadelphia Eagles. We're looking forward to a game against the New York Giants, kind of sandwiched here between NFC East opponents. To help us do that, we have joining us, as we do every Wednesday on the show, we have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how you doing today?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing well. How about you?
Good, good. I think Packers fans want to know about the new starting quarterback in Green Bay. His name's Scott Tolzien, and I thought he played pretty well this past week, considering the circumstances, considering he hasn't even taken many reps in practice and all those things. He's not Aaron Rodgers. I think anybody can admit that. But, you know, what I want to know, Nathan, is how does Scott Tolzien compare to other quarterbacks in their first career game? How does he stack up against those kind of guys?
Yeah, all things considered, Tolzien did a really good job in this one. He had more good throws than bad throws. The only thing was his bad throws looked really bad, where he either forced a throw he didn't need to make or really missed his receiver. But there was more good than bad in this one. So comparing to some other guys who were either undrafted players or late-round draft picks, there aren't a ton of comparisons that can be made. This year, Jeff Toole of the Buffalo Bills, Case Keenum of the Houston Texans, Thaddeus Lewis is someone last year who also got his first start after being an undrafted player. And Tolzien did on the better end of those players. Some of them also had average games. Some of them had really bad games. So Tolzien looked good compared to those other players who you wouldn't expect to do well.
I did hear that Scott Tolzien threw for the most yards in his first career start since Robert Griffin and Andrew Luck. Not saying Scott Tolzien's in the category of those kind of players, but he's thrown the most yards in that start. But Nathan, talking about one of his targets, has the injury to Randall Cobb kind of been a blessing and surprise for the Packers, in that it's allowed Jarrett Boykin to kind of take on a bigger role? Is that the case?
I'm not quite sure I'd call it a blessing in disguise, since I would rather see a healthy Randall Cobb out there than Jarrett Boykin.
Fair enough.
Yeah. They've played close equal snaps, and both have played well this year. Cobb's just played a little better. But it's still good to know that regardless of the Packers have all the receivers healthy and someone's injured, that they know that Boykin can step up and do a good job for them.
He's certainly been a positive, so that's a good thing. One thing that concerns me heading into this Giants game coming up is the state of the Packers' offensive line that's dealing with a bunch of injuries. This past Sunday was the first time ever T.J. Lang played at center in his career. How did he do, Nathan?
Yeah, again, I think all things considered, Lang did a fine job in his role at playing center. Throughout the game, he didn't allow a pressure, whether it was lined up back guard or center, so that's always good to see. So it really came down to his run blocking. And we did see a little bit of a decline in his run blocking from going from guard to center. A part of that is when he was at guard, he was going to the second level and doing a nice job blocking the Nemeco Ryans at the second level while he was at guard. But when he was at center, he wasn't doing that so much. So that was part of the reason his run block rate was a little worse in the second half, or whenever he started center, was a little earlier in the second quarter. But then also blocking Benny Logan, he did a little bit worse job run blocking in that time, but it's hard to say if that was the move to center that caused that or just how the game was going on. So really it looked like Lang did a fine job at center, I would say.
TJ Lang isn't the only player who switched positions for the Packers. How do you think that Green Bay will do if they're forced to play with, you know, the likes of Marshall Newhouse and Lane Taylor, like they had to against the Eagles when injuries struck to Don Barclay and Evan Dietrich Smith?
Yeah, I think those two positions could cause a little bit of problems. Lane Taylor, all I know about him is he has 5 career offensive snaps, so that's really not enough for me to go off of in terms of PFF stats. But he is going up against, in this game against the Giants, some very good defensive tackles, including our old friend Colin Jenkins, and then outside of him, they also have Linval Joseph and Matt Patterson, who are both very good against the run. So I could see Taylor having a little bit of problems, especially in this upcoming game. And then Marshall Newhouse didn't look very good against Philadelphia, either against the run or the pass. So the Giants' defensive ends this year have been very good against the run, but haven't provided the pass rush they have in the past. So I could see, especially this making Eddie Lacy's life harder, I could see a lot of runs going to the left compared to what we're used to seeing, more of a balanced running attack. And then pass protection, last week as a unit they did very good. Tolzien was only pressured on 9 of 41 dropbacks, so hopefully, even though they're the backup offensive linemen, they can still do a decent job in pass protection.
We're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, as we do every Wednesday here at Cheesehead TV. Nathan, on the defensive side of the football, it didn't appear to me that Clay Matthews made much of an impact with that club cast on his hand, but how would you say he did?
I would agree with you on that completely. He played in 40 of 62 snaps and didn't record a single pressure. The only other time in his 5-year career where he didn't record a pressure in the game was early on in his rookie year when he was going up against Joe Thomas. Technically, he did have a hit, but that was eliminated by a questionable roughing the passer call. So he almost got his pressure, but the refs took that away. In the run game, midway in the fourth quarter, he did have a tackle for a short game, so he did make a positive play there. But he also was successfully blocked a couple of times and also missed a tackle. So it really wasn't a great game, but none of the outside linebackers of the Packers had a great game either. There wasn't a single pressure that came from any of the outside linebackers in this one.
And that's going to have to change for the Packers somewhat soon, but perhaps a silver lining here. Does it appear that Dayton Jones is finally starting to live up to that first-round billing after getting a pair of sacks on Sunday?
Oh, yeah, he's starting to get there. The 2 sacks in this game weren't overly impressive, in my opinion. The first one, Nick Foles was running out of the pocket and basically where Dayton Jones was waiting for him. So Jones got it off a little easy on that one, and then the second one came on a play where Jason Peters was blocking Jones, and that was also the play where Peters got injured. So who knows if the injury was part of the reason Jones was able to get part of that sack. But really, over these last couple games, he's been doing a lot better than he did in the first 4. In the first 4 games, he only had 1 pressure in all of those games combined. And in the last 5 games, he's up to 11 pressures. So while it might not be up to a first-round billing yet, he's definitely heading in the right direction.
That's a good thing. Hopefully he'll get there eventually. Something that really concerns me is what's happened to Morgan Burnett. He seems to have regressed since last season after he got a nice contract from the Packers in the offseason. And maybe not just Morgan Burnett, but the Packers' safety position in general. They've gotten little from M.D. Jennings, little from Jerron McMillan, but yeah, the big one that concerns me is Burnett, because he was supposed to be the leader of the group. What's going on, Nathan?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what's been up with Burnett recently. Over his first 3 games of the season, he was looking really good. He had 10 stops and only 1 missed tackle, so he was almost looking better to start this year than he was last year. But then it's really been these last 3 games where he hasn't been looking good. He's had his 1 big play against Riley Cooper that he allowed, which was the longest pass play that he's allowed since 2011. He also had a missed tackle in there to go with a couple more missed tackles that he's been having these last couple games. But the Packers safety position in general, I think outside of Burnett, it's really just they don't have much talent there since they haven't put a whole lot of effort in designing safeties. Since 2006, the Packers have only drafted three safeties, if I did my search right. Aaron Rouse, who clearly didn't work out, Burnett, and then Dron McMillan, who hasn't been playing well. So it might just be that the Packers need to draft a couple more safeties and find one that works out going forward. And then also at this point, I would like to see Chris Bandro getting a little bit more playing time, possibly from Mendy Jennings. Since on his limited snaps, I did like what I've seen out of Bandro so far, so he could be an upgrade at the position.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's time to give him snaps, and, you know, he looked good in the preseason at least, so, I mean, don't have a ton to go on, but at least Chris Bandro is playing respectable football. Nathan, you alluded to it earlier, the New York Giants and kind of their good defensive tackles that the Packers offensive line is going to have to go up against, but give me a little bit bigger picture here on the New York Giants, what they're doing and how have they gone on this 3-game winning streak?
I think this matchup is going to be really interesting because there's going to be a lot of strengths going up against strengths and weaknesses going up against weaknesses. The Giants have really headed into this 3-game winning streak thanks to their defense playing well. As I mentioned, the defensive line has been doing really well, especially against the run. They've been getting a little bit of a pass rush, especially with an interior pass rush. But hopefully the interior line with Josh Sitton especially can do a okay job stopping that. And then also what's really caused them to step up these last three games is guys in their secondary have been playing better. Guys like safety Will Hill, Tremaine McBride at cornerback, and Terrell Thomas at spot cornerback, guys you may not have heard of, but have played pretty good these last few games. But the Giants' offense really hasn't been doing well this entire season. A lot of that is due to their offensive line. No one on that line has been playing well. Eli Manning is back to throwing a lot of interceptions. He's had a league-high 16. And then the receivers that you've heard of, Hakeem Nicks, Ruben Randall, they've been dropping a lot of passes, so that offense has been really inconsistent. So while the Packers' front seven especially hasn't looked good these past two games, before the Packers were going up against teams with both good running backs and really good run-blocking offensive linemen, where it's the exact opposite in this one, so I would expect the Packers' front seven to look a lot better in this game.
Well, Packers fans, hope that's the case, as usual, and we'll talk to you next week after the Giants game to check in once again and see how the Packers did. But, Nathan, we appreciate your time, as we do every week here at Cheesehead TV.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, take care. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us, as he does every Wednesday here on the show. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well as we kind of continue our talk here of the Green Bay Packers, where they're at, where they're headed. Interesting that they're taking on a former Packer this weekend, defensive lineman Cullen Jenkins. That'll be one of the defensive linemen the Packers' offensive linemen go up against. I just came across, I think it was a tweet from a New York Giants beat reporter asking Cullen Jenkins, does this game against Green Bay mean more to you than usual, seeing as that's your former team? And apparently Cullen Jenkins' response was to say no, but nod his head yes at the same time. So be fun to see him go against Cullen Jenkins. I think a lot of people were upset that the Packers had let Cullen Jenkins walk away in free agency when he was one of the few interior pass rushers the Packers have had that's had any success, at least as of late. They're finally maybe getting back to that point they were at before Jenkins left with the play of Dayton Jones and Mike Daniels here as of late. But still, it took several years. It took three seasons to get back to that point. And Cullen Jenkins was missed, especially for the last 2 years, 2011, 2012. His interior pass rush, more than anything, was missed in Green Bay. But, you know, kind of continuing the discussion here of where the Packers are at, where they're headed. I think today's Wednesday. It's the first day of on-field preparations for the New York Giants today. Going to be a lot of attention on the quarterback position, of course. It'll be Matt Flynn's first practice for the Green Bay Packers. The Packers made it official yesterday on Tuesday, his signing and placing Seneca Wallace on injured reserve. Seneca Wallace, we hardly knew ye. He's now done for the season. He'll be a free agent at season's end. I can't see Seneca Wallace coming back next year. Maybe again, perhaps in an emergency, if the Packers were to suffer several injuries once again. But let's cross our fingers and hope that doesn't happen for a second consecutive season. Although I won't rule anything out, that just seems to be these Packers have been snake bitten ever since 2010 with the injury bug. But anyway, Scott Tolzien this week will be getting pretty much all the work, maybe not all of it, but a lion's share of the practice repetitions as they try to get him ready for this upcoming weekend's game against the Giants. You know, of course, last week it was kind of the same deal. Seneca Wallace was getting all the practice reps in preparation for the Eagles. They expected Seneca Wallace to play pretty much the majority of the game, and that didn't end up being the case. But Scott Tolzien comes in, looks good. Now he's the man, and he's going to, how much better can Scott Tolzien look now with a full week of, practice under his belt, working with the first team offense, working against the scout team defense? These are all things that should help him. By no means are they a magic elixir for success, but hopefully that's the case, and he can keep the Packers afloat. They got to start winning games if they're going to stay in the playoff race here, the playoff chase, because we're now over halfway through the season. Packers got 9 games under their belt, only 7 left. They got to win at least a few before Aaron Rodgers comes back. They can't afford to go winless without Aaron Rodgers, I'd say, what it comes down to. So a lot of attention on the quarterback position today. But we talked about it with Nathan Bianchi. The offensive line in Green Bay is really in shambles right now, and there will be a lot of attention on the offensive line as well. I mean, there's injuries other places that are unfortunate. On the defensive side, Casey Hayward suffers a hamstring injury once again. If I had to guess, I think Casey Hayward's season is done. Maybe they leave the door open for him to return again, but I doubt it. Who knows? Injury to Nick Perry, he hurt his ankle the last game. At least the Packers have other options at outside linebacker with Nate Palmer, with Andy Malumbo, with Mike Neal, with Clay Matthews. There's options there. They can get by without Nick Perry. But the Packers are very thin on the offensive line right now. Very, very thin. Of course, they're losing their preferred center, Evan Dietrich Smith, in the Eagles game. We talked about it with Nathan Yonke, how TJ Lang filled in and actually did pretty good. Again, considering the circumstances, considering TJ Lang had never played so much as a preseason game at center before. Can you believe that? They never even gave him any time in the preseason at center, and he comes in and fills in and does a good job. And that, it gives me encouragement that the Packers can maybe kind of get by here. But, TJ Lang shifting over has just created other openings on the offensive line as well. And I don't know where the Packers go with the backup center position right now. I imagine it's Don Barclay. Don Barclay did get time in the preseason at center. He didn't look very good, and that's why they kind of started to move him back to right tackle and right guard. I don't know where the Packers go with the backup center. They do have Garth Gerhardt on the practice squad. Maybe they have to bring him up. I don't know. It would depend on how long Evan Dietrich Smith's going to be out. We're waiting to hear that. Hopefully his injury isn't going to keep him out long. He hurt his knee this past Sunday against the Eagles, as did Don Barclay. Both had knee injuries. And Don Barclay is kind of a jack of all trades in that he can basically, he's been the starter at right tackle. He can fill in probably at either guard if need be. He's played right guard this season, and he's probably an emergency center if nothing else. Basically, the only place you're not looking at Don Barclay is at left tackle. Heck, he could probably play. That's where he played in college. He probably could play there if had to be as well. He's a jack of all trades. So, losing him is certainly not preferable. Don Barclay isn't the best offensive lineman on the Packers roster. But again, comparing him to the fill-ins, the backups like Marshall Newhouse, I'd rather see Don Barclay than Marshall Newhouse. Marshall Newhouse has now gotten playing time in consecutive games here against the Bears, against the Eagles, and has not looked good in either outing. Has really looked poorly. What's interesting, actually, is I think Marshall Newhouse has actually looked okay as a run blocker. He actually looks better as a run blocker on the right side than he ever did at left tackle in the two seasons. He was basically a starter at left tackle. But his pass blocking continues to be an issue, allowing pressure there. Marshall Newhouse, the Packers aren't going to release him. I think they want him to get through the season with him and just allow him to be a free agent. The Packers can't afford to let anybody go right now just because of the injury issues. They don't want to cut somebody if they're healthy. They're not in that kind of a position right now. That, as they say, pickers can't be choosers. That Packers can't be picky right now with so many injuries. They got to just keep what they have and hope they have a good game, and that's where they're at with Marshall Newhouse and undrafted rookie Lane Taylor as well, seeing his first action this past week against the Eagles, and he looked fine, but he didn't play very much, so he certainly has a much stiffer test coming up this weekend against a good Giants defensive line. And if he's forced to play, we'll learn more about Lane Taylor. But I don't know how much he's going to play. Of course, the one ace up their sleeve, and I'm not even sure you could really classify it as an ace up the sleeve. But the one kind of option the Packers haven't explored yet on the offensive line is Derek Sherrod. He's off the PUP list. He's on the active roster. He's been on the active roster for two games. He's been on the 53-man roster, but he's been inactive on game days. The Packers have not yet been comfortable in playing Derek Sherrod. But the push is going to come to shove real soon, and they may be forced to play him real quick, considering the injury issues on the offensive line. They just have nowhere else to turn. But you have to think that they feel somewhat good about Derek Sherrod's health by simply activating him to the 53-man roster. If you were still uncertain, I don't think you go that far. You get to this point with him. Derek Sherrod's time is coming, and it could be this upcoming Sunday. The Packers haven't made any roster moves. I don't know if they will. Again, it depends on how bad these injuries to Evan Dietrich Smith and Don Barclay are. I'm waiting to see the release of the team's injury report today. They released their first injury report of the week on Wednesday. And I want to know where Evan Dietrich Smith and Don Barclay are at. will they be ruled out for this week? Is there at least a chance they'll play? Because, I mean, you have to have seven offensive linemen active on game days. And the Packers right now, they have six fully healthy offensive linemen. And after that, it's guys dealing with injury issues. So it depends on what their health is like. Is there a chance they'll play? If not, they may have to make a roster move. They probably have to cut somebody or play somebody on injured reserve. God knows there's enough candidates on injured reserve that, you know, they could make a move there. But, I mean, it's push is coming to shove for the Packers offensive line. Speaking of Derek Sherrod and players on the PUP list, this also marks the last week the five-week window is open for PUP list players to return to practice. So we're talking about today. We're looking at guys like Jarrell Worthy, Sean Richardson, and J.C. Treader. All three of them, if they're going to return to practice, this is it. They have to do it sometime this week. And you know what? The Packers probably, technically the Packers could wait till as long as Friday. But if they're going to practice, they're basically, the decision's going to be made today. So we're going to learn a whole heck of a lot today about these three players on the PUP list and where the Packers think they're at. Technically, they might not have to make a roster move until Friday or whatever the deadline is. It might not actually be till next week. But, I mean, if they're going to practice, it's going to be today. And so, I mean, Jarrell Worthy, defensive lineman, suffered an ACL tear last year. He seems to be the most healthy, I would think, the most likely player to play, perhaps. But even then, I don't know. He just is the most likely of the three. I don't know how likely it is overall that he plays. He says he's healthy, says he's ready to return, but I mean, it's been 5 weeks already. If he's that healthy, why isn't he returned to practice already? And perhaps part of it has to be with the depth on the Packers defensive line. That's one position on the Packers defense where they could actually afford an injury is on the defensive line. They've got seven of them on the roster and Jarrell Worthy waiting in the wings. But I don't know what happens. Again, we learn more about them today. Safety Sean Richardson. He says the doctors have cleared him to play. But again, well, why haven't the Packers cleared him to play? Are they that scared? We learn more today. I mean, it's this week or never for Sean Richardson. In fact, if the Packers decide they don't want to risk it, his career could be over. He went through spinal fusion surgery in the offseason. But some players come back from that surgery, some do not. If you're a Packers fan, you're very aware of players that have had spinal fusion surgery way back from Sterling Sharp way back then to just 2 years ago, Nick Collins. But, apparently, Jermichael Finley's having that surgery tomorrow. And, at some point, again, we can talk about the future of Jermichael Finley. But for the time being, we're kind of waiting on Sean Richardson here. And we'll see what happens with his status, what's going on with him. J.C. Treader, I think he's kind of the most unlikely to return, just basically because he broke his ankle in May. I don't think there's been long enough time for him to recover, but who knows? It has been several months now. Maybe if he's a quick healer, perhaps there's a chance. With all the injuries on the Packers offensive line, you know, maybe that's opened up a glimmer of hope that there could be room for him on the roster. But I think he's the least likely to return. But we'll find out more on all these guys today. Today, we've been waiting forever on these guys, but we're finally coming down to a deadline time on decisions the Packers have to make. They either have to start practicing, or they got to do one of two things. They got to release him or place him on injured reserve season-ending injured reserve, which would, you know, end any hope of them coming back. We find out today. Technically, the Packers don't have to make a move till later in the week, but this is the last week for them to return to practice. So we wait to find out. Anyway, Packers begin preparations this week for the New York Giants. We'll talk more about that game and kind of have our Giants primer episode here on Railbird Central on Friday. Make sure to come back as we have Railbird Central every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. So make sure to join us once again. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. Stay tuned to CheeseheadTV.com for all your news needs all week long. I leave you today with a song called Velvet Red by Conspirator on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.